The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So this morning, I thought to reflect on the experience of mindfulness, getting familiar with what it is to be mindful. We teach mindfulness here a lot. And often the way we teach mindfulness, we focus on being mindful of something. And there's also a way that we can explore and cultivate mindfulness by getting familiar with the experience of mindfulness itself. And in talking about this, I wanted to explore it from the perspective of a very familiar experience that everyone here who attempts to meditate will recognize, and that is the experience of the mind wandering off. Because what that is, essentially what it is when the mind wanders, is the loss of mindfulness. And when the mindfulness returns, when we come back, when there's the sense of I'm back, that is the returning of mindfulness. And so we can get familiar a little bit with the experience of mindfulness by looking at the edges of mindfulness, where we lose mindfulness and where mindfulness returns. Because that's a place where we can start to recognize the difference between what it is to not be mindful and what it is to be mindful. So that's the perspective that I'd like to take in exploring this today. There's a lot that we can learn in this exploration. I think one of the biggest pieces is that we start to learn how mindfulness gets lost, what are the kind of habits and patterns that we get caught in. And so that's a big piece. We can get curious about where does mindfulness get lost and then learn something about the ways in which our mind is habitually caught with things. Another big thing that we learn with this exploration is that we don't have control over our mind so much. There's a teaching the Buddha speaks about our experience is not self. And that's kind of sometimes a little bit a concept. The concept of not self is sometimes a little bit hard to understand. This idea that what we take to be the sense of self, what we take to be self, is not really what's happening in our experience. And, you know, there's a lot of ways in which it feels like the sense of self is so obvious. How can it not be true? But what we tend to not notice is what we could call evidence that this idea or concept of self is not what we think it is. And this wandering mind, you know, the way the mind wanders, is actually just such a piece of evidence. We sit down to meditate with the intention to be mindful, to be aware of what's happening. And what happens? After a few minutes or a few seconds even, the mind wanders. Did you decide for the mind to wander? Did you choose that? Mostly no. Mostly it just happens. The mind just wanders. And that is some aspect of the mind not being under your complete control. And this is a big piece of how the Buddha describes and helps us to understand what the teaching on not self is. He says our body is not self. If our body were self, then it would be possible to say of the body, may my body be like this. May my body not be like this. But because the body is not self, it is not possible to say of the body, may my body be like this, may my body not be like this. He says that with respect to many aspects of our experience, and I'll put the word mindfulness in there because this is an aspect of our experience. So mindfulness is not self. If mindfulness were self, it would be possible to say of mindfulness, may mindfulness be like this, May mindfulness not be like this. But because it is not possible, mindfulness is not self, so it is not possible to say, may my mindfulness be like this, may my mindfulness not be like this. So this is natural. We cannot say in a moment, I want to be mindful or I want to not be mindful. And yet there are conditions that support the arising of mindfulness. There are conditions that support mindfulness to arise more frequently. And one of those conditions that supports mindfulness arising more frequently is getting familiar with the experience of mindfulness. The experience of what we'll call wise mindfulness or right mindfulness. Because with this quality of wise or right mindfulness, which is a particular way of being mindful, and I'll describe that in just a moment, the quality of right mindfulness has this capacity or the way it works in our minds. The way right mindfulness works in our minds is that when we are aware with right mindfulness, a kind of a curious perspective about the experience of the moment, when we're aware with right mindfulness of difficult states of mind, of reactive states of mind, states of greed, aversion, delusion, anger, confusion, irritation, annoyance, many states, many reactive states. When we are aware with wise mindfulness of those states of mind, they tend to reduce over time. They get weaker. When we attend with wise mindfulness to wholesome states of mind, these are states based in wisdom, compassion, love, basically states based in non-greed, non-aversion, non-delusion. When we bring right mindfulness to those states, they tend to increase, they tend to get stronger. And partly this happens because our system, let's say our system, wants to move in the direction of well-being. Our human organism wants to move in the direction of well-being. And the kind of sad, poignant piece of our human condition is that we fundamentally misunderstand what well-being is, and our kind of habits and patterns of mind hijack this process to move towards well-being, to move towards what we believe will be well-being, which tends to be trying to get rid of things we don't like and trying to hold on to things we like. And so the process of wise mindfulness begins to kind of give our being, our system, different information about these habits and patterns of mind. It gives us different information about the experience of anger, for instance. You know, the experience of anger from our habitual perspective is, this anger is going to help me feel better. This anger is going to make the other person not do that thing again. This anger is going to make me feel in control and in charge. And so we you know, have this perspective of anger that is helping us to miss what the effect that anger has on our system. And so when we bring wise mindfulness to that state, that anger, we see, wow, that hurts. That is not well-being, that experience of anger. And so the mindfulness begins to give our system a different education about these mind states. And so wise mindfulness is a wholesome quality of mind that supports our understanding about what actually leads to well-being and what takes us away from well-being. And so getting familiar with that experience itself, the experience of mindfulness. Mindfulness is a quality in the mind. And bringing mindfulness to mindfulness helps us to cultivate mindfulness. So that's where we're exploring today. So mindfulness, a simple definition of it might be something like the ability of our minds, the human ability to know what's happening in the present moment while it's happening. So that's maybe a definition just of mindfulness itself. Other words that might be in the terrain of mindfulness, a sense of presence, a being with experience, a resting with experience, an abiding with experience. Those kinds of words are also in the terrain of what mindfulness means. So mindfulness is related to this very simple and normal, natural human capacity for us to know that we know, to be aware of what's happening in the present moment. This is a normal functioning of our human minds, this capacity. And yet that functioning, that kind of capacity to know that we know, can be used in many different ways. It is, we could maybe call it inherently, a neutral kind of capacity in our minds, much as something like a knife is a neutral tool until it's used. It can be used as a scalpel for healing. It can be used as a weapon to stab. And so the knife is a neutral tool until it has some kind of intentionality behind its use. And likewise with mindfulness, the mindfulness itself is kind of neutral until there's an intentionality behind how we are mindful or how we are being attentive. And so the kind of perspective, so there's the perspective around mindfulness that supports us to make it wise mindfulness. The Buddha points to a view, a wise view, wise understanding that supports that mindfulness to become that quality that helps us to understand what leads us towards more well-being and what takes us into suffering. And, there's different ways that this is defined in the Buddhist teachings, but I'm going to just simplify and like give you a very simple definition. It's not in the suttas so much, but feels like a pretty experiential way to relate to what's pointed to. And that is the perspective of mindfulness is when of wise mindfulness is when we are curious about our human experience as experience. We're curious about what is this experience as a human experience. So the curiosity is a piece of it, and the interest to look at experience not as personal, not as mine, but more as an unfolding, a kind of the conditioned nature of our experience. And so what does it mean to be a human being that's experiencing this, whatever's happening right now? This frustration, this anger, this body sensation, this confusion, this pride, this love, this joy, this delight. What is the human experience of that? So the wise mindfulness is kind of this orienting towards experience, to be curious about it as experience. So a different use of mindfulness, to kind of give a contrast to that, might be if you think about a thief in a house trying to steal something, you might imagine that thief could be very aware of everything they're doing, very aware of their steps, very aware of their movements, so that they won't give themselves away in the house. And so there's an awareness there. There's that capacity to know what you're doing in the present moment while you're doing it. That is there. But the aim, the purpose of that that mindfulness is to steal, to take something that's not given. It is not to be curious about, what does it feel like to step right now? What does it feel like to reach and touch right now? That is not what's going on in the mind. There's a different motivation for the mindfulness. And so this is a key distinction that we need to understand. This mindfulness is a non-judgmental, non-reactive exploration of our experience as experience. And so to speak a little bit about cultivating this capacity of mindfulness, we often, as I said earlier, we often think about cultivating mindfulness by bringing our attention to something in particular. And so, you know, that we direct or aim our attention towards something. And this is one way that we can cultivate mindfulness. We pick something and we aim our attention at it. This is what we could call prompted mindfulness. We are choosing what we're attempting to be aware of, and we're kind of reminding ourselves, stay with this, stay with this. Can I remember the next moment based on the previous moment? And so when we are already mindful, there's a way in which we can use that mindfulness to help us be mindful in the next moment. And this connects to something that there's a teaching, maybe commentarial, that the proximate cause of mindfulness is mindfulness. And so how do we begin? You know, that seems like, is it even hopeful that we could even cultivate mindfulness at all? And yes, because this capacity, you know, as I said, this wise mindfulness is related to this human capacity for being aware in the present moment. And so that moment or that kind of experience of mindfulness arising happens. This is what we can call, what the commentaries of the Buddhist teaching call, unprompted mindfulness. Mindfulness that arises spontaneously. And this unprompted mindfulness, the neutral form of unprompted mindfulness, happens a lot. And we can begin to harness that by being curious about it, and then being, when we notice it, notice that unprompted mindfulness, that moment of mindfulness just returning, by being curious about what's here now. That brings it into that more terrain of wise mindfulness. So unprompted mindfulness, this moment of mindfulness returning, you know, it happens all the time. You know, we're walking across a room, for instance, and we see something on the floor. Well, maybe there's a moment of recognizing with that more neutral kind of mindfulness, there's something on the floor. And often with that, the habits of mind, we just simply kind of skip over the fact that we have become mindful. We don't notice that we've become mindful, and we just act out. We follow through on whatever that mindfulness has become aware of. Oh, there's something on the floor. I need to pick it up. So we pick it up and we go on with our day, and we don't even notice that that quality of being aware in the present moment happened. And so this one place that we can start to get curious is in that moment when the mindfulness returns. Kind of and we can start with this in our sitting practice. We start with the sitting. We are attempting to be mindful, and the mind wanders. The mind gets lost. It gets lost in thought, and yet at some point it returns. What is your relationship to that moment when mindfulness returns? Often we have a relationship to that moment that, oh, you know, I was not mindful, and I better get back to paying attention to what I was paying attention to before, maybe back to the breath. And so we, in that moment of becoming mindful again, we just kind of put ourselves back where we were before. We aren't actually often taking that moment to be curious about, oh, mindfulness is back. What's that like? That moment when mindfulness returns, after the mind has been wandering, that is a moment. There's several wonderful things about that moment. One is that you didn't have to do it. It happened effortlessly. It just arose. So there it is, this effortless moment of mindfulness. And in that moment, as mindfulness returns, it's an opportunity to be curious about the quality of mindfulness itself, what it feels like to be mindful. Because the moment before, or a few moments before, perhaps, it depends on how long it takes us to recognize the mindfulness having come back. A few moments before, we were not mindful. And in the moment of becoming mindful, there's a little bit of a contrast between that state of being lost and the state of being aware. And so that that difference, we can just kind of land in that moment. It's like, oh, here, the mind is mindful right now. How is that different from the way it felt a few moments before? There's kind of a lingering memory of what it felt like in those moments of non-mindfulness. We can have the sense of maybe it being a little bit spun or stuck or kind of submerged, and then the experience of being mindful may have more the quality of a sense of brightness or light or connectedness. Regardless of what we are connected to or aware of, there's a kind of a quality there of the mind connecting with experience. And so this is a moment when we can start to recognize what is that experience of mindfulness, to become aware, essentially, of what it is to be mindful. Becoming aware of awareness itself, becoming aware of mindfulness itself. And so this this exploration, a simple way to do this in that moment, is just kind of recognize in that moment when you become aware. That the first piece is just awareness is here. Just take in that awareness is here. That habit of kind of pulling ourselves back to some object quickly it doesn't let us linger or get a taste of that quality so much. And so just give yourself a moment. It's like, oh, awareness is back. Like, appreciate that. It's amazing awareness has come back. So appreciate that and get a taste of that. What is that like? And then just simply notice what is here. What is here in this moment? Depending on what practice you're doing, you may, in that moment, after you've kind of taken in, oh, this is awareness, you may choose then to return to some anchor object like the breath. Or you may simply, if you're doing a more open, receptive practice, you may simply just recognize, well, this is what's here now. This experience is what's here now. We can also recognize the experience of mindfulness when we are already mindful. It can be a little more challenging because it is, it's like so close to us that it's, we don't often recognize the experience of being mindful as mindfulness is going on. We are more often kind of checking in or knowing what we are mindful of, knowing the objects of mindfulness, knowing the experiences that mindfulness is meeting, the body sensations, the mind states, the sounds, the sights. We're knowing that, and we're not so attuned to the experience of the knowing or the awareness of that, the mindfulness of that. And so we can, in that moment, we can get curious about the awareness itself when we are already mindful by shifting the attention a little bit away from the experience we're being mindful of and just being curious. What is this awareness? How do I know that I'm aware? Or maybe just recognizing, I know that I'm aware. We may not exactly know how we know we're aware there, but that kind of that curiosity of almost like, well, what is it to be aware in that moment begins to help our minds begin to recognize and understand that quality as it's happening. It's almost like, keeping that exploration of, so I'm aware. What is it to be aware? Keep that simple. It doesn't actually feel like you're turning around and looking at mindfulness like this. It doesn't have that kind of quality. It more feels like a stepping back and a kind of knowing the kind of the container in which we are knowing things. It's kind of like the air we breathe. This capacity to know that we know is so close to us that we don't often recognize it. It's just we take it for granted. And so it's a subtle experience that is not so obvious while it's going on. And that's why I often suggest this kind of exploration of the re-arising of mindfulness. That's where it's more obvious to us because of that contrast. So I encourage you to try to explore this. I mean, the moments of mindfulness returning when we're in sitting meditation. You know, in a 45-minute sitting, how many times does your mind get lost? Many, many, many times. And so every single time your mind gets lost, that is an opportunity to check into this as the mindfulness returns. You know, check into that difference between mindfulness and non-mindfulness to begin to get familiar with the experience of mindfulness itself. When I began this exploration around that return of mindfulness, it had a huge impact on my relationship to the wandering mind. It's like it doesn't matter how many times my mind wanders. Every time the mindfulness returns, I get this chance to notice, oh, it's back. It kind of took the judging quality out of the fact that my mind had wandered. So it allowed the mind to just be like, oh, here's mindfulness again. If in the very moment that mindfulness arises, you judge yourself for having gotten lost, you kind of miss the opportunity to see that contrast, because that quality of judging comes in and swamps that experience of the return of mindfulness. And so for me, this kind of shift of curiosity about the moment of mindfulness returning was a great support for letting go of the judgment around the wandering mind. Because I understood that this recognition of mindfulness was cultivating mindfulness. And this works in daily life too. This moment of recognizing mindfulness is back. This is a powerful support in our daily lives. Because sometimes in our daily lives, that kind of bringing our mindfulness, bringing a kind of a prompting of the mindfulness, that takes energy, that takes effort. It's often we don't have the bandwidth in terms of what we're doing. You know, we're focusing on something for our work or a conversation with a coworker or a friend. And we may not have the bandwidth while we're engaged in that to be remembering, be mindful, be mindful, be mindful. And yet the moments when mindfulness arises, those are not moments that you have to work for. And so the recognition of those moments in our daily lives is a way to begin to cultivate that mindfulness throughout our day. Just recognizing the moment that, oh, I'm back. Like wherever we are, walking across the street, driving the car, in a conversation, picking up a dish from our table. Sometimes these moments of mindfulness return. And just kind of the curiosity, oh, it's back. There it is. Just take it in. And you don't have to in daily life like necessarily try to keep it going. But just recognize that. You don't have to necessarily pick up the backpack of mindfulness and try to carry it around with you all day. Just notice these moments of mindfulness returning. So that's a little bit on the side, and this is maybe the easiest place to recognize the experience of mindfulness is when mindfulness returns. But on the other edge of the wandering mind, where the mindfulness is getting lost, this is another place where we can get curious. The places where the mindfulness starts to slip out. And a way to explore this, so we're kind of looking at that edge where we are mindful, and then the mindfulness gets lost. We don't necessarily have control so much over the fact that the mindfulness gets lost, but we can be curious about what's happening there. A kind of habit we may have around that exploration is to try to double down and just kind of get the effort to stay mindful. You know, we start to notice places or ways in which our mind gets caught or lost, and we may just feel like, okay, I'm just going to try to stay mindful. And that's one way to approach it. That's one way to work with it, to use effort to bring the kind of sense of, I'm going to be mindful, I'm going to be mindful. But another way is to be curious about what happens in those moments. And so we can kind of do an inventory in our lives of where do we lose mindfulness? Just no judgment. Just kind of start to get curious about, it could be on a retreat, or it might be in our normal lives, or it might be in a sitting. Just maybe you have some area or place where you're curious, what happens when I lose mindfulness? So you can kind of start to take inventory. It's like, where do I lose mindfulness? In my daily life, it might be with particular activities. Maybe we tend to notice we really get lost when we have conversations with a particular coworker, or maybe we see we really get lost when we start to make our meal. This something happens, and so there's certain activities that we do perhaps where we may notice that we have little sinkholes of mindfulness, quicksand. we step into the quicksand and mindfulness just goes away. And so if you start to, taking the inventory, you start to notice those places where you lose mindfulness, you can bring some curiosity to those activities. What happens when you step into those activities? What goes on in the mind? Rather than trying to force yourself to stay mindful, using this kind of curiosity to get kind of a sense of what goes on, what happens there? So adding some interest to the activity. There was one situation on a retreat where I noticed that I would lose mindfulness. What I noticed actually is that mindfulness returned and I found myself staring in a mirror. And I began to recognize that I had no recollection of choosing to look in the mirror. It was like there was this little sinkhole, a little like quicksand in that situation before I ended up looking in the mirror. And so I got curious about this. Every time I went someplace where I knew that there's going to be a mirror, I kind of got curious. Well, let's see if we can see what happens this time. Not trying to stay mindful or to see it potential so much, but just that curiosity, what happens? Over and over again, I noticed I didn't notice. Like many times, I went into the restroom and then found myself staring in the mirror. Like, oh wow, didn't get it that time. Try again, maybe next time. And just that intention to kind of have that curiosity over and over again. Now, eventually, at some point, I noticed while I was washing my hands, there was this intention to look up, and it was subtle, and I noticed it, and I could see, it's just a habit to look at myself in the mirror. It wasn't like some deep, old, needing to be seen, it was just a habit. And that kind of habit was so conditioned that it was hard to see. And so in this case, I then began to understand or see when that typically happened many times was when I was washing my hands. And so I could start to see that. It's just that kind of habit. Look up, look at myself in the mirror. And then I could choose whether or not to follow through on that intention. This is a small, simple example. One of the big places where we tend to lose awareness is when our attention shifts from one thing to another. That shift of attention is often a place where the shift is happening because of a conditioning of habits or even just our humanness. Like our attention will shift when we're walking. Our attention, we may be thinking about something or, attending to something. And then there's some movement across our field of vision. And without even knowing it, our attention shifts to seeing. because of that movement. And that's very natural. It's natural for that to happen in our human system, that our systems take care of us in this way to orient or recognize when there's a shift of attention, when there's something to attend to. And so the shift of attention is a place that, you know, getting familiar actually with what it is for the attention to shift. As we start, that factor in the mind of attention. It's another subtle factor in the mind, and we can start to get familiar with what it's like for that movement from one object or experience to another. A way to explore this is, to get familiar with this quality of attention and the shifting of attention is to play with it while you're walking, you know, in a daily life kind of walking. So kind of be curious about what's the difference between seeing and looking. And when does the attention shift from seeing to looking? Seeing is more of a general kind of broad experience. No, not particularly honing in or looking at particular things in our field of vision, but just kind of taking in the broader sense of seeing. And yet there will be things that happen as we're going through our walk that draw the attention. Noticing that. When attention shifts from seeing to looking. If we don't notice that shift, often what will happen is that we end up thinking about the thing that we've noticed, remembering things, other things that happened in relationship to that, and then we get lost. It's like that shift of attention is a little hook that takes us into our associative mind and often pulls us out of awareness. Same kind of exploration we can do with respect to hearing and listening. This kind of shift of attention is often a reason in sitting meditation that the mind wanders. So we're sitting, maybe you're doing a practice of paying attention to the breath. You're exploring being with the breath. And then here, you know, at IMC, there's often sounds outside that happen. The sound of music happened earlier. And what happens in that moment? Sometimes we are aware, oh, there's hearing, and maybe our relationship to it. But sometimes we just, it's like we were paying attention to the breath, and almost because we have an agenda to stay with the breath, we don't notice that the attention shifts to the music. And we start thinking about the music, and we start thinking about the people who are doing the music, and start thinking about, don't they know there's a meditation center here? And our mind is off. And so that shift of attention, if we can catch that, if we can begin to get familiar with that way the mind shifts from one thing to another, we can start to see, you know, that kind of slippery slope out of mindfulness. Maybe we can start to recognize, oh, paying attention to the breath. Oh, hearing. Hearing is happening. And maybe some of those thoughts arise, but perhaps we can be mindful of them instead of just lost in them. Let's see. There's so much more to say about where we lose awareness, and yet it's coming to the end of our time. And so I will just encourage you. I mean, for me, this has just been a big part of my exploration. How does mindfulness get lost? Doing that inventory. It can be different qualities of mind in which your mindfulness gets lost. Maybe you tend to get lost in anger or depression or confusion. And so having a sense of curiosity as those states are there about what happens there. How does that hook happen? What are the places that your mindfulness gets lost? Be curious about that. And not have it be something that you beat yourself up about, I'm going to stay mindful with this, but that curiosity. What is it like to explore this, and what is the hook? What is it that mindfulness gets stuck to here? What is happening? And then there's also states of mind that we have a belief that we can't be mindful in them. So something like spaciness, for instance. You know, we might have the idea that a spaced out mind is inherently non-mindful. And that I have to change that state of mind in order to be mindful. What I'd like to encourage in this exploration, so if you notice yourself losing mindfulness in certain kinds of states like sleepiness, dullness, low energy, restlessness, spaciness, fogginess, those kinds of states, that you might have the thought something like, I can't be mindful while this is happening. And so how can I fix this? You know, I need to like open my eyes or change my posture or like amp up the energy so that I can change the state of mind. What I'd like to suggest is if you recognize that thought, I can't be mindful while sleepiness is happening, that you have already been mindful of sleepiness, because that thought can't happen without some awareness, especially if you know the thought. I can't be mindful while sleepiness is happening, so I need to do something. There's a view in there that says, I need to do something. But what about seeing if you can actually recognize, oh, I am aware of sleepiness. Maybe there's a belief that, you know, I can't be mindful because I'm not aware of the things I want to be aware of. I want to be aware of my body sensations or, you know, the subtlety of what's, you know, of thoughts. But what is most obvious in that moment is a fogginess. It's just like, yeah, this maybe the sense of weightiness, of sleepiness. Instead of trying to pay attention to something else, maybe we can know that experience of sleepiness. It's like that's actually what the mindfulness is most connected with in that moment. And essentially we have an agenda. It's like the sleepiness is kind of a fog or a kind of a state in the mind. And we have an agenda to be doing something other than that state. We want to be mindful of something on this side of the fogginess instead of just like, oh, well, the most easy thing to know right now is that fog. It's possible with that curiosity that you might be able to be more aware of sleepiness or other kind of states that you might think we can't be mindful of. There's more capacity than you know for our mind to be aware. There's nothing that we can't be mindful of, except perhaps non-mindfulness. And even that we can get a flavor of on the return of mindfulness. So, it's time to stop. Thank you for your attention.